The yielding of our spirit, the yielding of our heart has to be unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me share something very brief with you. We'll look at some few other stuff. I mentioned Joshua 3. I want us to look at Joshua chapter 2. Let's start from chapter 2. I read verse 1 to you. It says, now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go, view the land, especially Jericho. Now, this will let you know that when he asked them to go view the land, he was speaking about the land of which Moses, or the Lord through Moses, sent them earlier to spy on, which is the promised land the Lord had spoken on to Abraham about. So it was not that Joshua sent the spies to Jericho. He actually sent them into their land. And he was precise that in searching out the land, they should especially spy on Jericho. Because Jericho was the first land. Do you understand? Or the first city. He said, now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. All right, we all know the story. If you don't know, what happened was, as they went there to spy out the land, and then they went to Jericho to spy out Jericho, they got to know that there were spies in the land, and they pursued and sought after them. And Rahab hid the spies, all right? If you want to know more, you can read more of that in the chapter 2. Now you come to verse 21. Then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. Specifically the spies, all right? Did not find the spies. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over, and they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, truly, the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands. For indeed, all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. Kabarata kabaya. This is a prophetic word. Glory to God. It's a prophetic word. You know, we've been on a journey as a ministry. And amazing, the Lord has brought us in this township, Pokwasi. I know what I see out of this place that the Lord has given to us. He will sound us to the ends of the world. Kibatalabaya. Verodobo shakaba. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, kovolande mazo balagasheko. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And all the forces that control the lives of men and young people in this community, they are faint-hearted because of us. Iba shakaba. Hey, vagoba sobragash. Destinies are being transformed. Lives are being changed. God's glory is going to be revealed in many. Transformation upon transformation. Transformation upon transformation. God is making each of you possessors. You are becoming a possessor. Malebo sabalamando sava. The Lord has made you a possessor. Legonzo carandos. Thank you, sweet Jesus. And they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands. For a minute, just release those words. The Lord has delivered the lands into our hands. And speak in tongues. See people, see hearts. See the salvation of souls. Come on. Are you sure you're praying in tongues? Mosovelaron de gashe kevoza. Marabagados. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Glory!
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
So, chapter 3. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priest, the Levite, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way before.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Savala kapaya shanda rabaya.
Now, before I move to the next verse, let me just establish some matter. In our journey with God, He leads us by His word, by His spirit, and by the teachers He sends to you. You should take note of that. Life as you see is not as it is. The world as you see, you might be thinking that, okay, I sleep, I wake up, I eat, I pray, I go to church, I go to work, I meet my friends, I experience some progress, I make some money, I get back home, I sleep, I wake. You may think that is what life is all about. But life is not just about that. The place of the spirit is vast. The realm, that realm of the spirit is so vast. Man as a man, as you see, as often as I tell you, that man is a universe. There's so much God achieves through men. And there's so much God longs to achieve through you. And on that journey of God achieving much with you, there are beings, there are entities, there are controlling forces, there are opposing elements. They are designed not by God, but by the accuser of the brethren to oppose the brethren from achieving that which God wants them to achieve. They are not to be the focus. They go some places, you're like, oh, that the focus on is trying to destroy a demon, knowing different kinds of demons. And I'm not saying it find it's bad or not, but there are higher realms. There is a higher way of dealing with matters and situations in the spirit. And through scriptures, God has showed us, see. And at times, you may even read the scriptures as much as you can, but your spirit will not be exposed to those realities until understanding is granted unto you. So, in the midst of that complexity of the realms of that of the spirit, there is always a way to go. You know, sometimes we pray to God, you've prayed and you feel that you've not seen transformation, you've not seen answers, you've not seen solutions. At times you wonder why the kind of progress you expect you have not seen. And then you even hear people saying that, I've done everything I need to do. I've done everything and I'm not seeing solution. You've not done everything. The matter is that you don't know. That is why God has His word. He has the spirit. He has the word. And He has given you teachers. So for those of you in Christ's common community, the Lord has given you a teacher, as Apostle Benny, as your teacher to show you the way to go. And He said that for you shouldn't come close. He said you should stay afar so that you can see. Why? He said, because you have not been on this way before. For all their lives, that particular generation, for all their lives, they've been part of those that have been in the wilderness, been journeying from the wilderness all the way to Jordan. From the Acacia Grove to Jordan. And then from Jordan into the promised land, because they have to cross over into the promised land. And he's saying that, for you have not been on this way before. So understand this, life is not just lived. You must know the way. See, this is why we are taught God's word. This is why we are taught. We are not taught God's word. We don't come for church meetings to be taught, to be nurtured, just because, you know, everybody's doing ministry, there's church service going on, and you have to go to church by force. So that is why you have to go to church on Sunday. So that's why you have to get up, dress, and then you go to church on Sunday. Listen. Our walk in the kingdom is not even about going to church on Sunday. See, that's what a lot of people think, that, oh, mine is just to come to church on Sunday, go back, and then I live my life, come to church on Sunday, go. No. You've not started the life of the kingdom. You've not begun the kingdom life. The kingdom life is not Sunday. It's the pursuit of growth. Pursuit of growth. Pursuit of maturity. You see. So you are taught. You are helped to see
Because you have not been on this way before. There is a way in the spirit that you've not been on that way before. So God will give you a teacher that will lead you on that way.
I'm sure you are here.
So never, I say, sometimes we need to assume that, oh, you know, I want to say that, oh, I've listened to Apostle Benny, he has taught the gospel, I've listened to all his messages, so now, oh, there's nothing new that Apostle Benny has to teach me. Well, if you outgrow me, then you must be the way.
There is a way.
There is a way in the spirit.
See,
there's a way in the spirit. This is what we follow. Because there is a way you have not been on. You don't know that way.
See,
this is why you must learn to calm down. To follow precept upon precept. Because there are times you go like, you want to see something happen. You know, you want to see a miracle. Or you want to see some money. You want to see anything. Like, relax. Follow. You go like, no. I have to do my quack. You see, so you realize that you do your quack, you go around, they still come back to the same place. Because growth has not happened. So you have not been on this way before. This is what we follow.
See?
This is why it's an error when you are born again and you are more opinionated than dominated by the word. You see, you must be dominated by the word than being opinionated. Because there is nothing you experience that the word of God has not already carved a path. So it's not about what you feel. But you see, you must always take decisions on God's word, not what you think. It's a great mistake to wait for an experience before you gain knowledge. When God's word serves you with much knowledge and wisdom, there is a way. Now I'm telling you, we are pressing it on that way. Yet there shall be a space between you and it. About 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way before.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. He said, sanctify yourself. The word is consecrate. He said, consecrate yourself. For tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. Consecrate yourself.
Thank you, Jesus.
Sanctify yourself. Now, let me explain something to you. When you become born again, the love of Christ is transfused into you. Are you following? You did not become born again by your works. The Bible says, being justified freely, we have peace with God. We are saved through the finished work of our Lord Jesus. Our righteousness came through Christ. It said, for him who knew no sin was made sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. There are two phases of our sanctification. By the finished work of Christ, you experience justification. And by his work, there is the sanctification. But you see, sanctification is in twofold. The Bible says, for he that is sanctified and they that are being sanctified. So there is that sanctification of your spirit. When you become born again, your spirit is completely sanctified. Jesus said, he that sanctifies, so the author of Hebrews, he that sanctifies and they that are being sanctified are one. Therefore, he's not ashamed to call them brothers. So when you become born again, you have experienced sanctification. You see, through the work of justification, by justification, you have access to sanctification. You experience sanctification in your spirit. You are sanctified. You are set apart. You are made holy through the work of Christ, by the shedding of his blood. You are made clean. You are sanctified. However, again, we see in Romans 12, it said, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I explained to you that when you become born again, there is a transfusion of the life of God into you. You see, there is a transfusion of God's life into you. Now, by that transfusion, there is also the work of transformation. You see, now, the transfusion of God's life into us is a work that was done by the Holy Spirit through Christ Jesus and the ministering of the word. Because nobody experiences salvation without the administration of God's word and the spirit. So by the administration of the word of God and the spirit, there is the transfusion of divine life. The transfusion of the divine life of God. Nevertheless, your mind is not born again. That is why when you become born again, you don't forget where you live. Nobody became born again and forgot his household. Forgot the name of his mother. That now I'm born again. They ask you, what's your name? Spirit. No. You see, if you are called my name, Isa, when you become born again, you will not now say that my name is now Kofi Kumsen. No. You are still born again. There are people that are even born again, have been made righteous, and still, they still think that they are sinners. They still remember themselves. They remember that they are sinners because of the mind. So Apostle Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, there is a renewing of your mind. There is a renewing of your mind. And that is the transformation of your mind. The word is metamorphosis. There is that transformation. You change in state. Not just in your spirit, but also in your mind. But it is a process of the administration of God's word and the spirit as well. Just as your spirit is, your spirit receives the life of God by the transfusion of God's word and the spirit. The same way the word of God works with you. You see, now, at this time, for your salvation and the receiving of eternal life, the only work you do is you receiving. That is the work you do. You receive. You see, by receiving. When you receive the life of God, when you receive the word of God, faith is transfused into you. That faith transferred into you comes along with divine life by the effectual workings of the word and the spirit. But now again, as I was saying, there's a need for the transformation of your mind. Your mind must be transformed. There has to be a change in the way you think. Because how you administer the workings of the Spirit of God within your spirit, or the life of God within your spirit, or the ability of God within your spirit, is according to the dimension of thought, the renewal of your mind. You see? That's why you are born again. You've been, from the day you became born again, the power of God has been in you. But you've not been able to administer the power of God because your mind has not been taught. See, you've not been taught. You've not experienced the transformation of your mind. You've not built that consciousness to be aligned to the condition of your spirit. So there is daily struggle. Meanwhile, that which you are struggling for has already been dispensed into your spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, my kadabazova. This is what we give attention to, the word of God. Like someone praying for love. Oh God, give me love. Give me love. No. Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So we already have the love of God in our hearts. We don't pray for love. We have the love of God at work in our hearts. Why? It's the work of the Spirit within you. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the power of love. The power which is of love. Not the power for love. The power which is of love, the ability which is of love, is transfused into you. You see? But now you need to grow. The more you hear God's word, the more your mind experiences transformation. And the more you yield your mind, you see, you yield your mind, you yield, the more you yield your heart to the Lord and to his word, the more there is that transformation. Like he says, my son, give me your heart. I've told you, your heart is both your mind, your will, and your emotions. Say, give me your heart. He wants your will. He wants your emotions. He wants your mind. He wants it. You see. So as you yield to him, then begins to work his word in you. He works his word in you. Then you mature in the understanding of the life which you have received. Because when it comes to the reception of God's life, you don't receive the life of God every day. The day you became born again, you receive that life of God in you. It is right there in your spirit. But as you grow in the knowledge of God's word, you grow to understand the working ability of that life which is within you. The potency of the life of God gains full expression. Are you sure you are here? It gains full expression. This is why we give our minds to the word of God. This is why we give our minds to the workings of the Holy Spirit. And the more you grow in that knowledge, the more there is that transformation. That is when physically you begin to see transfiguration in your life. Transfiguration is the product of transformation. Whereas transformation cannot happen, the transformation of the spirit cannot happen to a man unless there has been a transfusion of the Spirit of God in that man. where you see the growth of the life of God in your physical body. Where cancer or any growth can dissolve in your body. Why? There is a transformation of the mind. The heart and the spirit had been so knitted. The spirit of God and the life of the word has so much infused your mind. That's why last month was a month of meditation. We had to spend time to meditate. We inhale divine word. You see, when you inhale the life, the virtue of God, you will only exhale that life. See, you take that life in. That life consumes you. Zemengo pakavanosa rovunje prakata. That's why sometimes when you have any condition in your body, you see, there are two solutions. There are two solutions. Number one, the ministry, the ministration of the power of God through the gift of healing or the gift of faith or by the anointing of the Spirit. Let me put it that way. See? And then the second one is the workings of the power of God's word. The workings of the power of God's word. See? And how does God's word work? It works by supplying life and ability to your mind. It dominates your mind, dominates your heart, let me put it that way, to your heart, because the mind is just limited. To your heart. It's a limited expression, all right? English language is very limited. To your heart. And as it dominates your heart and becomes the utterance of your lips, it will propel healing virtues to gush forth from your body. See? The words of God. The speaking of the word of God. So when you behold God's word and the word of God is being infused in your heart, you are hearing the word of God. You are hearing the word of God. You are hearing the word of faith. You are hearing the word of faith. You are hearing the word of faith. Soon, if you can't walk, you start walking. How? The word of God will produce new energy within your system. How is it that someone whose life is so wayward, gives himself to the word of God? Listen. If you are not coming out of a situation, you are not giving yourself to the word of God. It is one thing to read. It's another thing to give yourself to it. To give yourself means you act it. You see, you imbibe the word so much that you come down to act it. It becomes your stronghold. It becomes your stronghold. When God wanted to heal their diseases, what did he do? He sent forth his word. Which means that the word of God has a way of bringing transformation both to your mind, and in that transformation will birth transfiguration in your body. A weak body, a weak dead tissues, dead cells can come alive by the word of God. By the word of God. How come I so much believe that people can be healed of any situation? It doesn't matter how bad that condition is. A person can be healed of it. If not for anything, listen, you don't need healing anointing to heal the sick. The word is enough. The healing anointing is an aid. God's word is enough. Can you shout this? I act on the word. Come on, say like you mean it. I act on the word. Oh, I act on the word of God. Oh, glory to God. I act on the word of God. Listen, let me tell you, brethren. I grew up knowing that when you believe in God's word, it will work for you. I grew up knowing that. So you see, you set your affection on that word. You set your mind on that word. Sometimes when you are confused by situation, it's because a word has not come alive in your spirit. A word that works in your spirit can change situations around. It doesn't matter how deadly that situation is. A man of God shared a story. You know, we've been talking about declaring God's word over and over. And recently, the man of God, Pastor Chris, was sharing a story. He's a healing minister. He's been healing the sick and all that, praying for the sick. It's been an old story that it came online recently, all right? He's been healing the sick. And he shared a story that when his daughter, his second child, was 4 years old, she couldn't walk. The daughter couldn't walk. She prayed for the daughter, laid hands on her, and she still couldn't walk. They took her to the hospital. They said, it can't work. And then they said, the child will not be able to walk again. Yeah. And they said, they should bring the child back home. They brought the child back home. He was praying for the sick. He was healing the sick. But his little daughter could not walk. The healing anointing was still at work. But the child still couldn't walk. Blind eyes were opening. But the child still couldn't walk.
Does that mean there is no other solution?
There is. You see, so you don't say that I have tried all. You've not tried all. Have you tried the word? Have you tried the word? Come on, ask someone, have you tried the word? You go like, when I study, I don't remember. When I study, when I read, hello. Have you tried the word? Have you tried the word?
Listen, I always know how to shake the world.
The word. What has God said to you? What has God said in his word?
He said he began to put the word of God to work. That's what he started doing. And so he'll be there. Then he realized there's a mental picture of his child coming in a wheelchair. Then he will shout, no!
Mention the name of the child and will declare, you walk, you jump, you run. You walk, you jump, you run. Sometimes you'll be in his office, whilst in the office, then you will shout because the picture will be coming by you. You are there, you see yourself sick, dying of sickness. Nowadays I've been dreaming of dying of sickness. Huh? Me? That's one of the days I was sharing with you how even my dreams, when I dream, I dream dying.
No.
That I dream that they're having funeral for me. I'll go back to the dream, wake up, and see people run away and eat the food at the funeral. And return back home and tell them, relax, I'm here. Yeah. Or I will sleep again and dream that it was not a funeral. It was a party. What they saw as coffin was a treasure box with money in it, with my money. Don't allow anybody to confuse you. That there are things that happen. I do in my spirit world. Wherever that dream came from, me too, I will create my own.
And then look at my life now. Look at how my life has become. Now look at my life.
No. No. Can you shout this? I have the power to change things.
I have the power to change things.
Say it again. I have the power to change things.
I have the power to change things.
Shout this, I'm a miracle worker.
I'm a miracle worker.
Come on, say it again. I'm a miracle worker.
I'm a miracle worker.
Say it one more time. I'm a miracle worker.
I'm a miracle worker.
Recently, I just saw there was an argument on social media, and some people were saying that some men were going to say that, and the song Waymaker, Miracle Worker, is not correct. The people that are saying that they are the miracle workers, those people are blasphemous, you know. But I asked, okay, so for example, so the song was saying that Waymaker, Miracle Worker, and what? Promise Keeper, and then what?
Light
in the darkness. Okay, are you the light in the darkness? Hello. Are you the light in the darkness? Are you a keeper of promise? Because the scripture says when you promise, keep. It means you have the ability to promise and you have the ability to keep it. So why won't you be a miracle worker? Why can't you be the way maker for others? Why? So who is being hypocrite here? I'm a miracle worker.
A miracle
worker. Come on, say it better. I'm a miracle worker.
I'm a miracle worker.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're a miracle worker. How do you work it? Acting God's word. Act on God's word. This thing, listen, there is no other way around it. There is no other way around it, my brother. There is no other way around it, my sister. Act the word of God. He said he declared God's word over and over. He declared, my child walks, jumps and runs. She walks, jump and run. 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 He was just declaring it. When the picture is coming, he's correcting it with the word of God. So one day, saw his child walking towards him. You see, are you sure you're here? So act on God's word. And as you act on the word of God, you experience that transformation of your mind, transformation of your body. Don't change your confession.
Don't change your confession. Don't say, I've served God, served God, served God. It doesn't look like I'm all the people sharing testimonies of making money, getting jobs. Why me? Why me? Why me? When you are praying those prayers and crying, go and look at your face in the mirror. Whether you look like a child of God. Why me? Why me? Why me? Why me? Because you are not acting the word. Keep acting. Keep focusing. Keep acting. It may look like you are not seeing it. Continue. Keep acting. Keep talking. Keep acting. Keep practicing. Keep acting. You will soon give birth to that miracle. Praise the Lord. You will give birth to that miracle. I say you will give birth to that miracle. Are you sure you are here? I say you will give birth to that miracle. I say you will give birth to that miracle. Ha ha ha. You are giving birth to miracles. I said you are giving birth to miracles. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we know that by God's word, there is that sanctification of our spirit. It has happened. He said you are a chosen generation. Royal priesthood, peculiar people, a holy nation, a holy nation. You are set apart. Wherever God is, there is separation. As long as God lives in you, you are set apart. You are separated. You are sanctified. So he said, sanctify yourself for tomorrow. There's going to be a good news. Thank you, Jesus. For tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, you know, imagine they had not listened to Joshua. Joshua just came. He said, sanctify yourself. The Lord will do wonders tomorrow. They believed the word. They believed the word. And they acted. Did they go sanctify themselves? Yes, they did. So we told you, I told you last month was a month of meditation. Did you meditate on God's word? Yet you are expecting the testimony of beholding his kingdom glory and power. But you missed the first month instruction, meditation. So sanctify yourself. Now, there is a sanctification of the mind, which is by the word of God. The purification of your mind. Now, there are twofold. There is something about the life of God. The life of God is your quality. However, there is also the living of the life. The living of the life is part of sanctification. The living of the life is part of consecration. The living of the life is part of purity. Christ has made us pure. Nevertheless, our walk must be an evidence of that purity. Our walk must be an evidence of that sanctification. Our walk must be an evidence of that consecration. There has to be that proof that we are consecrated. That we are set apart. Legos of Alambre Gonze, Hejege no Gomazo Voho Palatalo Lomae. You know what? Jesus said, for you are clean by the word of God. So you are clean. He said, you are clean by the word of God. You are clean. Nyankopan sem ye efini awede ehun kikawa. Yes. Kikawa. Yes, kakawa. Not just oh, how brabo in kawan kawa won't in kawa. Don't mind me. Kawa, all right. All filth. There is a filth of your mind. Though you are born again. Yes, you are the righteousness of God, but there is a filth of your mind. It doesn't mean you are filthy. You are what your spirit is. Hey. I've told you before, you are not what you think. You are what God says you are. Not what you think about yourself. Me, I'm a no-nonsense. No, you are not a no-nonsense person. You are a chosen generation. Hey, glory to God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are the justified in Christ. You are born of God. You are the anointed of the Lord. Glory to God. All right. So, God's word sanctifies our mind. Now he says that sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord
shall do wonders among you. Which means that it is possible that certain wonders doesn't manifest in the lives of people because they've not intentionally consecrated themselves. Now, don't quickly jump to legalistic consecration. You know, Apostle Benny, you know I'm not talking legalistic consecration. So as I develop a thought, you come to realize what I'm talking about the more. But I'm still talking to you about consecration. Consecration. Listen, you are a priest of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? You are a priest. He has made us kings and priests unto our God. Like I quote 1 Peter 2:9, we are chosen generation, royal priesthood. So you are a priest. You did not become a priest by obeying some rules and regulations, some Levitical rules. No, you became a priest by the work of Christ. He made you. Unlike what he said today, he said, if you obey my commandment, I shall make you a kingdom of priests. That was not our story. For us, Christ obeyed for us. Hey, hey. Now, because Jesus obeyed for us, we have been made a kingdom of priests. That's what we are now. So, you are not consecrating yourself to become a priest. No, you have been consecrated already in your spirit by the Lord. Now, in your walk, because you've been consecrated and made a priest, you walk as a consecrated fellow. So you see, let me tell you, to be sanctified and consecrated means to be made sacred. You are sacred. Say to yourself, I'm sacred.
I'm sacred.
There is a sacredness of your life. See, wherever God's presence is, that place is sacred. That place is sacred. Look at Moses in Exodus 3. As a shepherd, getting close to the burning bush, saw the burning bush, the fire was blazing, but the bush was not burning out. And then he was approaching, and a voice spoke from the fire, saying, do not come close, for the grounds where you stand is the holy ground, so remove your sandals. Why was that ground the holy ground? This guy has been passing there every day. If he didn't know the way, how will he be using that way? He said, you've not been on this way before. By him, he has been on that way before. So he's been using that place, but the moment God appeared there, it became a holy ground. Look at it. Look at, what is a golden cup? What's a golden cup? But the moment the presence of God came upon the golden cup, the oil, the anointing came upon the golden cup, the Bible says they were sanctified and set apart unto the temple. It was only used in the temple. It was so serious that a king that drank from it, it ended his kingdom. I said, you are sacred. You are sanctified. You are consecrated. Anyone that tempers with you, Shabalata, has tempered with God. Anything that comes in contact with you is separated. Have that mindset. You buy a shoe, that shoe is separated. Are you sure you are here? Listen, that's how I think. I so think everything about me is so consecrated and anointed, including my hanky. Oh, yes. I have an anointed life. Say, I have an anointed life. I have an anointed life. You go to the barbering shop and the barber is barbering your hair. He said in your head, you don't know the head you are holding. If you had known the head you are holding, your miracle will happen to you. Understand that we are now imagining who is the barber of Bishop Oyedepo? I had a story of a man of God who used to barber Bishop Oyedepo. And it's like anytime he's barbering him, they say, my mind is sharp. I had a story in Witness. And you know, that man can quote scriptures like something. Because it was like anytime he was barbering Bishop Oyedepo, he said, I'm intelligent. I'm sound. They are brains, oh. They are brains. There's an anointing that has come upon heads. Has come up. Maruko Zuvali. You are anointed. If you pay attention to yourself right now, you start sensing some strong unction stirred up in you, in your hands, upon your head, around your body, as I'm ministering to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So he says, sanctify yourself. So now, it is not just an Old Testament instruction. If sanctify yourself is an Old Testament instruction, then possessing the land is also an Old Testament instruction. I've told you the difference between Old Testament and the New Testament. I'm not going to go into that now. That's just an Old Testament statement. You are sanctified in your spirit. But that has to be the sanctification of your mind. That is why he said, do not be conformed. You see?
but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then he went on further. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, it means you dedicate, you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is consecration. Apostle Paul speaks in Romans 6, speaking of how we are to consecrate the members of our body unto the Lord. See, consecration. I speak to you as a prophet of God that there is a wonder the Lord wants to do in your life. And that wonder is happening as you set yourself up unto consecration. You shall see a wonder. A wonder. You shall see the Lord doing wonders in your life. The Lord shall do wonders among us. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, consecration is the work of the anointed, of the matured. You are not consecrating yourself so that you make it to heaven, but you are consecrated to make full proof of the reality of the life at work in you. You're already a citizen of heaven. Why must you intentionally consecrate yourself? Because you are God's property. You are God's property. You don't own yourself. You don't own yourself. You are owned by God. So don't live like one who owns himself. So don't think you can just do what you like. You don't do what you like. It is babies that do what they like. They will be anyhow. They cry wherever they want to cry. It is the work of children. But a mature is not like that. You don't live anyhow. You want God to do something with you? Don't do things anyhow. Be as a body prepared. Be a body prepared. You don't talk anyhow. I'm sure you're here. You don't decide to travel anyhow. You travel anyhow. No. It's the life of babies. You know, a baby goes, I've spoken to God. I've prayed and I've spoken to God. I've told God several times, I want this job. He's not giving to me. Yet I'm serving him. I'm serving him in his church. Look at the partnership. Look at the giving. Look at the service I've been serving the Lord. Yet he's not giving me this miracle. This lady that came here 2 days and then look at her standing there saying that I've got admission to school and my fees have been paid by the grace of God. But look at me. Look at me. No. A consecrated life? No. It is babies. So babies that they cry for everything. They cry for everything. But as you begin to grow, God, you see, babies and children always try to tell parents what they want. When you begin to grow, God tells you what to do. You see, when you have not matured, you can see people that are independent of God are babies. But the more you grow in the Lord, the more dependent you are on God. The more you grow, the more dependent you are on God. But for the babies, God doesn't tell them what to do. They tell God. But as you mature, you don't tell God what to do. Listen, I don't wake up to go like, man, me now, I want to go. No, I'm going where? I don't tell God what I want to do. God tells me. God tells me what to do. See, that is our life. Are you sure you are here? That is our life. As you mature, the more you mature, the more you don't tell God what to do. God tells you what to do. Like John said, I decrease that you may increase. Your desires decrease that his desires will increase. Your opinions decrease that his opinions will increase. You realize the door opens for you to go into the military. You say, no, I can't go. Why? God says I shouldn't. Literally, I'll get some money, you know. God says no. You know, there are people God cannot tell you no. And God has never told you no. Every day, in the name of Jesus, the Lord is doing for me. The job, the door is opening. The door has opened. This job, I have the money. I have them. Has God told you he wants to give you that money? The contract is mine. Oh, you have manipulated God. See, you manipulate. When God, you see, let me tell you. You see, that's why we are on a journey. This year, we are on a serious journey with the Lord. Serious journey. And the Lord is going to show you what to do per time. Where to go per time. He said, and the Spirit constrained us. The Spirit constrained. We're constrained. He said, for the Spirit permitted us not to enter the city. Lift your right hand. Lift your right hand. Lift your right hand. Oh, I'm simply devoted to you. I'm devoted to you. I'm devoted to you. I'm devoted to you. See, babies cry for what they want. You see, so when you begin to walk like this with God, there is no disappointment in your life. There's no disappointment.
said, as you're maturing, there are things that will happen to you. You may think that it's a disappointment, but you realize that, oh, when it happens, it's that, God was leading me. Thank you, Jesus. Then you are learning how to respond to the Lord. And God, where the Lord begins to carry you on the wings of His Spirit. If you are thinking about the secret to your frustration, that's what I've told you. Consecration is the secret of your frustration. Lack of consecration is the secret of your frustration. How is your tongue consecrated? How are your eyes consecrated? The things your eyes see is the reason you can't meditate on God. Can you imagine how a young man will be praying, and as he is praying, one young man told me that while he's praying, not in CC anyway, before you start looking at somebody, you start looking at yourself, who could he be? While he's praying, all he thinks about is a pornography video. I said, that's what you've been looking at. So when the Spirit is picking up things, that's what he picks up. The Spirit cannot pick up anything new, because when he's leading you on spiritual intimacy, all you see is action from Google. So when you want to see prophetically, you can't see, because there is a wall, there's a fence, there's a veil upon your eyes, your spiritual eyes. Consecration is the problem. I'm telling you. What is consecration? So when you are consecrated to God, matured in Him, listen, you do ministry differently. Ministry will not be the pursuit of expressing and demonstrating a gift or fulfilling an ambition. It will not be so. There are a lot of people behind pulpit ministering to people, and their desire for ministry is because they have a gift to minister. If they were not having gift to minister, they would sit quietly. But ambition, we are not in for preaching. See, I want people to know that if I come to stand here to minister to you, I'm ministering because I have something that you need. There is a way you need to go, and I can show you. That's why I come to minister to you. So for information, I can come and sit here for 3 years and not minister anywhere. So why do we minister? The whole dispense the virtue and mandate of God. That's why in ministry, we are in ministry in pursuit of the true meaning of ministry, which is service. Not showcase. Men who have not been consecrated cannot serve. You can't serve. What is consecration? It is the intentional work of the Spirit in us and with us to enable us to be submitted to the new and living way in Christ Jesus. 2, it is the invoking of our sacredness in Christ. 3, it is basically a matter of submission and dedication. Consecration is when you submit and dedicate your will, your mind, your heart. If your heart beats after any man than God, then you have not seen God. You see, the truth is that when you see Jesus, you will yield to Him. Consecration is a walk in our perfection in Christ Jesus. We have been made perfect in Christ. So to be consecrated is to walk in that perfection. Consecration is the setting up of our spiritual climate with the preeminent presence of the Lord, who is also the Spirit. It is the setting up of our spiritual climate with the preeminent presence of the Lord, who is Himself the Spirit. These things, you will not find it anywhere. So make sure you write and meditate on them. Consecration is submitting our hearts and minds to the waterfall of God's Word and the Spirit. Again, you find Moses telling them that they should consecrate themselves. What did they do? They went to take bath, to take their bath. Most of the time, when they told them to sanctify themselves, they went to take their bath. So, the more you hear God's Word, the more you are washed. See, day by day, your life is made dirty by the voices you hear. The dirt in your life is as a result of the voices you hear. And the more you hear God's Word washes and cleans you of such dirt. The dirt of fear, the dirt of doubt, the filthiness of discouragement. You are washed by the Word of God. Oh, veroko basanti koshi. Consecration is the quality of dedicating our totality to the Lord's service in all purity of heart and mind. Consecration is the quality of dedicating our totality to the Lord's service in all purity of heart and mind. How pure is your mind when responsibilities are given to you?
Because a brother is angry with, let's say, a keyboardist. The instrumentalist is angry with the keyboardist. Because of that, he will sabotage the drums so that the keyboardist will make mistake. A fellow shared a story with me that I've forgotten who exactly, but I heard a story like a lady that sings in church and was singing, and then the instrumentalist had to play the drum in a way because he's angry with the lady. So then the lady was making mistakes and couldn't sing properly. You see, is that instrumentalist is a big problem. It happens in the church. Yet when they shout, miracle is coming to you, you are the first people to jump. Oh, makoro bodosh. So a brother has an issue with a life corner leader. A life corner leader tells him to go and follow up on a soul, and he says that this brother has an issue with me. So we're not going to follow up on it. So even when he gets there, they say, member. You're not sabotaging the life of a leader. You're sabotaging God. You're sabotaging God. You need consecration. So this is a month of consecration. See? This is a month of consecration. I'm going to instruct us on things to do this month. See? To be consecrated means you are possessed and owned by God. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, you are bought with a price. Listen, let this thing set in your mind. You have been purchased and bought forever. Don't live as one that owns himself. Live as one who has been purchased and bought by God. You see, when you are not bought, you usually say, nobody cares about me. Nobody cares about me. So I'm coming to church again. You are not bought. As some of you have not seen me around, did you call me to care about me? Did you call me to care about me? You didn't call me to care about me. The means I say, they didn't call me to care about me. So I'm not coming to church. Verse sota. Let's close with this scripture. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20. Are you there? All right, let me just start from verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Sanctified, consecrated. Look at it again. Sanctified. And useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Sanctified, set apart, consecrated. So that which is useful for every good work must be consecrated. There has to be a special aura around your life. The breeze of love around your life. There's a great move that's going to happen in our midst as a church. So the Lord says, consecrate yourself. Be intentional about your righteousness. Be intentional about your justified life. Be intentional that you are made holy in Christ. Be intentional about it. Be intentional about your perfection. You are made perfect in Christ Jesus. Be intentional about it. Be intentional about the love of God. Be intentional about the sound of the Spirit. Be intentional. Don't be part of those that causes segregation. No. Like those of you that come to church and you sit around and you browse. If you, yesterday, those people, they are what? They are bad disciples. No sacredness. You don't allow the presence of God. You come to church meetings and you are Facebooking. Your spirit becomes dry. Spiritual koshoko. The season you should be meditating on God's word, you are not meditating. You are Facebooking. Whilst you are in church. Much more when you are home. You now, you don't read your Bible at all. You don't pray. Small hours too that you've got in church. Say, I honor the Lord. Say, I honor the Lord.
In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you have that grace. Anything that concerns you is set apart. All that concerns you is consecrated. Oh, Shabalaya.
Your life is hallowed. I said your life is hallowed.
In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.